Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm excited to be talking about human resources today and visiting with the CEO of Exceptional HR Solutions, Neil Katz. It's exciting because there's a lot of growth in Texas. There's a lot of economic development happening in Texas. But Neil is going to give us a great perspective on what does that mean for people and work in Texas. So Neil, thanks for joining us.
Justin, thanks so much for having me today. It's been great and I look forward to speaking with you.
Well, Neil, you've been working in Texas for a long time in this HR space. What got you into the space and how did you become the CEO of Exceptional HR Solutions?
Yeah, Justin, I've been in HR for over 25 years. And about 20 years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to move back to Houston and then Dallas. And we've been in Dallas forever and we love it. It's just been a great state to be in. We love the state of Texas. We've enjoyed it and our opportunity. And for me, I've been doing HR forever. And the opportunity about 5 years ago to take my side hustle and to turn it into a full-time business now with a team of 20 people, supporting small to medium-sized companies and really being that expert for them so they don't have to go try to understand what it means to manage and deal with employees and the drama and trauma related to people management.
Well, and there's a lot of truth in that where people are one of your biggest expenses, but it's also where you spend all of the time, especially when you're a leader in a company that's growing fast. People are always the gate.
Justin, you said it so well. I mean, that's the number one thing I talk to leaders about every day is they're spending between 10 and 30, sometimes 50% of their time dealing with the people aspects of the business. And the reality is that's not why they started these companies. So my philosophy is get back to what you're great at and hire a fractional firm to work for you that are experts that can do it quicker, faster, better, and give you time back in your schedule so you can get back to your love and your passion of why you started your business.
Well, and I see that also being a risk lens for a leader so that when they're in that growth stage, they can make the right next step and ensure that they are protected from just ignorance. And that sounds like a harsh word, but it's the reality of not knowing what's going to happen when you grow from 0 to 20 or 20 to 100 people.
Well, here's the thing. If you need an oil change on your car, are you going to go to a plumber?
Right.
Of course not. So same thing in business. You can't be brilliant at everything you do. I'm sorry, we can't. None of us, even as a CEO myself in my own company, it took me a while to recognize I need a bookkeeper and then a CPA and a marketing person and a sales team. I begrudgingly gave into those. But even myself, and I sell a service specializing in an area for that reason. And what I realized, and I share this with fellow CEOs and founders and people building businesses is hire experts in their disciplines. But what's great is fractional is a great solution to it. So, look, get back to what you love because the reality is you probably don't love dealing with this stuff anyways.
Right.
So go hire somebody that could do it for you.
And when you say do it for you, what aspects of human resources are we talking about? Because it's a broad term, especially in today's world.
Well, in the small to medium-sized space, as I like to characterize it, it is HR. It's everything from the idea of creating a job to interviewing and selecting candidates to onboarding, offboarding, employee relations, investigations, comp, benefits, training, succession, exits, unemployment claims, and everything in between there. What I always like to characterize it, will be your HR department. If it deals with the people aspects of the business, we'll take care of it. So you can get back to what you love, engage with your clients, grow your business, find new opportunities and new avenues to expand what you're doing.
And where do you see risk coming into that? Because you just listed a lot of the heavy weights that I see small business owners and CEOs walking around with. They've got what needs to be an investigation. They've got a comp concern that they can't figure out. They've got employees coming and going, but that's a lot of concern in paperwork and administration at a minimum.
Well, I would tell you, just to answer your question, there's a risk in every one of those. That's part of the challenge. But the flip side is the real issue comes down to is it comes down to really understanding when you let something go. And that's where HR can come in and support. There's a couple of key areas of risk. One, investigations. If you have a concern about somebody's conduct or behavior, you absolutely want to do a documented investigation. You want to protect yourself and the employee and the business. Additionally, other areas that we see is employment practices being compliant. And I know we're talking for the state of Texas, but there are employment laws in the state of Texas that we need to be aware of. Texas is a great employer-friendly state, where other states are more employee-friendly. But even in Texas, there are laws and regulations we must follow. But the one I see today is probably the biggest glaring thing I see for business owners is 1099s versus W-2s, or as the words are, contractors versus employee.
Right.
You know, we get that all the time. Number one question I get all the time is, oh, I'm just going to hire a contractor. Okay. So that's probably the biggest category we're seeing. And I could spend 2 hours or longer on your podcast talking about it, but we'll just give you that one. It's probably the biggest one we get all the questions on, especially recently.
Well, let's spend 2 minutes on that one, really defining the risk and what's the difference? Because I know Microsoft really helped everybody see that back in 90s, early 2000s with a big court case. But unless you've been in recruiting, hiring, or in HR, I think we might have a misconception on what that looks like.
Yeah. So first thing I'll say is this. AI is brilliant, but AI cannot give you the answers you don't ask the right questions to. So the first thing I'll caution our listeners to is if you're not sure, go to a professional. AI is a great tool, but it can't answer everything. Number two, to answer your question, what is a 1099 or contractor versus an employee? A 1099 is a contractor that you're hiring for a defined either period of time or project or defined scope of work, okay? They're not your employee. They don't represent your business or doing something for you. The best, easiest example I'll give is I'm hiring a plumber to fix my sink. It's defined. I need my sink and this bathroom fixed. This period of time, here's the scope of work. I don't require them to use my email account. I'm not asking them to wear a logo of my company. I'm not giving them all their tools and equipment. I expect the plumber to come in with their vehicle, their equipment, their tools, their resources, and do the job I've asked. They're the experts. They complete the job. They provide me the bill, and we're finished. Generically, that's what a 1099 contractor is. Generically. An employee is somebody who works for your company, who you give guidance, direction, expectations, task, follow-up, lead, manage, and all of those components. You pay employment taxes, they pay their taxes, they work for your company. There are federal and state guidelines related to how we treat them, conducts, behaviors, policies, procedures, things of that nature. Where things get really messy is this. First one I get all the time, they want to be a contractor. Folks, yeah. I'm going to make this very simple. People don't get to choose if they want to be a contractor. The law defines what a contractor is and what is not. And if you're not sure, the rule of thumb to always follow is it's best to hire them as an employee, not as a contractor. First rule. Second thing I'll say around contractors is this, is if you're giving them an email, you're giving them equipment, you're defining their scope of work, you are the sole or majority provider of their income, they're not a contractor. You might call them one, but they're not. So then the question I always get is, well, I only have two. I'm okay. The reality is this. Small to medium-sized companies, the risk of being audited or evaluated by a state or federal agency is smaller. Absolutely. I will not negate that at all. It's 100% true. Here's where it becomes problematic. When that contractor's contract ends and he or she believes they were an employee and not a contractor, and they go to that state agency and say, hey, Mr. State Agency, Department of Labor, Department of this, Department of that, I should have been an employee, not a contractor. Can you look into this? The state would love to look into that, and they're going to come knocking on your door at that point and ask you, how did you treat Justin as an employee or contractor? Oh, Justin was a contractor. It's what he wanted. Yep. I'm sorry, Justin doesn't make that choice. They go through the whole list again, and guess what? If they were an employee, you now will be paying taxes, penalties, and fines, and interest because you chose to allow them to be a contractor. It doesn't work that way. So the risk for small to medium-sized companies Is it necessarily a state agency? It's possible, but it's when somebody ends their contract that was truly an employee or should have been an employee, but was classified as a contractor.
But at the end of the day, it's always good to get a professional opinion, make a professional decision, and move forward with confidence, because it does get blurry. If they're wearing a uniform, if they're representing you, if they're in the email and laptop and everything else, that is a real gray area. Vacation days and overtime. I mean,
well, all of that you just described is not a contractor. That's a W-2 employee. And exactly. That's why I said the simple rule is if you're not sure, the best solution is make them a W-2. And I know there's a cost. I understand that. But the reality is it's best for you and your business short-term and long-term.
So I talked to a lot of mayors across the state and cities that are coming up, and cities of all sizes. And I was surprised to learn that Lubbock has 2,000 employees in their city. It's a big employer. But in some small towns, it's a small employer that looks and feels like a small business. And I think it runs some of the similar risk. Have you run into municipals that could use your service?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we have a municipality right now, the city of Bonham, we're in partnership with, and we're looking to continue to grow and expand, because here's the thing. We want to help these cities, because the reality is this. They don't have the financial tax base to bring in a full-time 20 to 30-year HR veteran that has the knowledge and skills and scope, but they need it, because as they pass 3, 5, 7, 10, 15, 30 employees, they need that complexity. And again, we think private employers, city and states are exponentially much harder. You have unions, you have other components you're dealing with and other factors in state and federal regulations. Small to medium, really small cities are prime for fractional services, whether it be HR or other groups. But we would love to support other small cities, because the reality is that's the group that needs expertise. But what's great is you don't have to hire somebody full time.
And how would people find you and start to work with Exceptional HR Solutions?
There's two ways. Easiest ways to find me is, one, go to my website. There's a quick form. Just drop me your name and information. We'll reach out and have a discussion. Or go onto my LinkedIn profile. It's either Exceptional HR Solutions or Neil Katz, either one of us. Well, it'll come to me. I'll follow up with you and we'll talk. And look, I'm always open to a conversation to help and just discuss and brainstorm it. Just to see if there's a need. And if there's not, I'm still here to help and support. Always want to help and support.
Well, Neil, I appreciate you spending time with us today and giving us these examples to think about, because Texas is growing and that is good for our businesses, but they need to balance that growth with risk and ensuring that they're moving in the right direction with exceptional partners that can help them really move forward with confidence. Because as a leader, that does make it. It gives you the runway to make the best decisions and do what you're great at, do what your business is.
Justin, you're spot on. As Texas continues to grow and expand, just tap into the resources that can provide you the help and support.
Well, Neil, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Justin, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us at the Building Texas Show. We're excited to share stories from across the state covering the future of work and what Texas is going to look like over the next